Okay, so first of all, I wanted to point out that today's shiur is sponsored in memory of Razel Rona Katz, who's the mother of Dr. Brian Katz, who's currently sitting Shiva for her. So it's particularly chus for us to learn Le'ilu Nishmasa. Okay, I had like a really great title for the shiur, and I think that Henry just edits me sometimes. The real title of the shiur is Eved Ivri, colon, not what you thought. And now I will explain. I think everybody carries around with them this kind of list in their pocket, or an unofficial list in their pocket, of mitzvos that are awkward, that we find it hard to defend. You know, Amalek is the first on everybody's list. But on that list, I think for many of us, is Eved Ivri. You know, the whole idea, and it's not just because we're progressive or anything like that. You know, the idea of slavery makes us uncomfortable. The idea of a fellow Jew being a slave, you know, really, really makes us uncomfortable, not just because of Mitzrayim, but, you know, because of the way we see the world. And I think we struggle to explain this mitzvah. And the goal of today is to make clear to you that not only shouldn't we struggle with this mitzvah, we should be proud of it. But before we get there, another bunch of introductory thoughts. Eved Ivri is not just, you know, a mitzvah that exists in Mishpatim. First of all, it's the first mitzvah in Mishpatim. That means, you know, certainly according to the Ramban, where Mishpatim is sort of the continuation of Aseres HaDibros, ending at the end of Mishpatim with the Bris Naaseh V'Nishma, you know, that means the stuff in Mishpatim, I don't want to say is more important or are more important than other mitzvahs, that's not fair, but they certainly occupy a prominent place in that if you look at the general balance, you know, we have these big ideas in Aseres HaDibros, followed by, you know, how to build a civil society. What are the rules that you need for people to live together? And you wouldn't guess that Eved Ivri is the first of those rules, but it is. And it's repeated again in Parshas Bahar, and it's repeated again in Parshas Re'eh. It gets pretty big billing in the Torah. So we need to ask ourselves why. Third thing, you know, we normally say to ourselves, well, if it's a mitzvah, I should do it. Right, there are Tayag mitzvahs, and so if there are 613 mitzvahs I should do. That's obviously not the case. There are any number of mitzvahs that are circumstantial, or more than that, there are any number of mitzvahs that I suppose if you asked me, I'd say the Torah doesn't want us to do. Right? I don't think the Torah wants us to divorce our wives. But if, God forbid, we're in a situation where the marriage is falling apart, we have to end it, the Torah tells us how to do it. The Torah doesn't want us to do the mitzvah of sota, but if we have to save a marriage, here's how to do it. The Torah doesn't want us to return stolen objects. The Torah wants us not to steal in the first place. But if you're in that circumstance, here's what you do. So certainly we can argue that Eved Ivri is not a mitzvah. It's just if X, Y, and Z, here's how it's supposed to work. All right, something to keep in mind. Another thing which we may touch on is the relationship between one mitzvah and many mitzvahs, by which I mean the following. Everybody knows there's a pasuk that says, Ulekachtem lachem bayom arishon, peri eitz hadar, kapos tvarim v'anaf eitz avos v'ar v'nachal. We think of this as the mitzvah of Dalet Minim on Sukkos. We all know that Dalet Minim on Sukkos is one mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to take Dalet Minim. The Dalet Minim consists of, you know, Lulav, Esrog, Hadassim, and Aravos. What about Tefillin? So the Rambam says that Tefillin are two mitzvahs, Shel Rosh and Shel Yad, because they can exist independently. Eved Ivri, we will see, is a mitzvah, whatever that means. But then there's at least one other mitzvah that's counted separately from Eved Ivri, and we have to ask ourselves, what's the relationship between the two? Okay, and last thing, which I think is really a fascinating idea, we'll see it in the Sefer Achinuch, is there such a thing as mandatory chesed? Right? Is chesed a thing that we like to do, but we're not obligated to do? Or could it be that from time to time the Torah says to us, you must do this act of chesed? Okay, those are a bunch of questions. Now let's start. Here we go. Okay, so let's read Psukim. And already in the Psukim, we should start to feel more comfortable with the mitzvah and even a sense that we maybe have misunderstood it. Okay, first pasuk. Here we go. What are the mishpatim? Ki tikna eved ivri, sheishanim ya'avod, uvashivit yetzei lachovshi chinam. So the first thing to know, says the Torah, is there is no circumstance in which you can ever own an eved ivri for more than 6 years, because an eved ivri leaves. Every time Shemitah comes every 7 years, all Avadim Ivriim are freed then. Okay, so certainly that doesn't match up with our idea of slavery, which I think most of us think of as being, forever. That's the first thing. Second, well, no, even before that, let's look at Rashi. What does it mean, Ki tikna eved ivri? You just walk around, you find somebody in shul, and you say, do you want to be, can I buy you? How does it work? So Rashi says as follows, Ki tikna miyad beitin shemacharuhu bignevato. Rashi says our parsha is talking about a specific case. A specific case is a person stole something, could not repay it, therefore, Bezdin. Not me or you, but Bezdin sells the person. K'mo she'nemar, imein lo v'nimkar b'gneivato. Okay? Then Rashi discusses the other situation, which we won't read right now. The other situation is a person who sells himself because he's destitute. Okay? Now, those are the only two situations in which an Eved Ivri can ever exist. Either he's sold by Bezdin, and we'll see that's only in limited circumstances, or he sells himself, but once again, as we'll see, that's only in extremely limited circumstances. Okay, back to the Psukim, Pasuk Gimel. Im begapo yavo begapo yitzei. If he came by himself, if he came single, he leaves single. Im ba'al ishahu, but if he was married, v'yatze'a ishto imo, then his wife leaves with him. Asks everybody, how could it be otherwise? She's not even a slave. What's the pasuk talking about? So Rashi says, "V'yatzaa ishto imo," where my cursor is in number two. V'chimi hichnisa shetetzeh. Wait, how did his wife become part of the bargain that the Torah has to tell me that she can leave when he does? Ela magida katuv. So Rashi, the Torah is telling us, "Shehakona evid ivri." Chayav b'mizonot ishto uvanav. If you acquire an Eved Ivri, you have to pay for room and board for his wife and children. Now, again, they're not your slaves. You don't get anything for it. And you start to think to yourself, well, who would do this? Why would I acquire a slave if by doing so, I have to provide room and board for his wife and his children? It doesn't match up with our idea of slavery. Now, something that might, back to Pasuk Dalet on top, and I admit this up front. Im Adonav yiten lo isha, v'yaledah lo vanim o vanot, ha'isha v'yiladeh tiyeh la'adonav, v'hu yetzei begapo. The Pasuk says, if your master gives you a wife and she gives birth, she and the children remain the property of the master. What does this mean? So Rashi says in Dalet, Im Adonav yiten lo isha, mikan sheharishut biyad rabo, limsor lo shivcha kina'anit, laholid mimena avadim. Rashi says, no. What it means is, the Adon can give her a shifcha kinanis, not an amaha ivriya, not a Jewish woman, he can give her a shivcha kenanis, and in that situation, the children that they have together—it's not a real marriage. The children that they have together remain the property of the Adon, but this isn't a real marriage, and they're not really his children, and he knows it from the start. Okay, so far, limited to 6 years max. The Adon has to support the entire family, even though he gets no benefit from it. There is a minor benefit, which is subject to a major machlokas in the Gemara, about what the circumstances are under which he can give you a shivcha kinanis to have children with. Okay? But now you come to really a staggering pasuk. Pasuk hey. Vim amar yomar ha'eved ahavti et adoni et ishti ve'et banai lo etzei chavshi. What happens if the Eved says, you know what? Life is great here. I don't want to go out during Shemitah. I'd much rather stay. So again, it's hard to imagine that applying to a real situation of slavery. Which slave wouldn't want to go free if given the option? So here you get the sense that there's more going on than we may have thought. Last pasuk. So what happens if he wants to stay? V'higisho Adonav el ha'elohim, v'higisho el adelet ol ha'mezuzah, v'rotza Adonav et azno ba'marzeah, va'avado le'olam. Okay, so his ear has to be pierced against the door of Bezdin, and then he stays an Eved Ivri le'olam. We don't have time to discuss, but le'olam is understood not to mean forever. It's simple meaning. But le'olam until Yovel. Okay? The sense you get is the Torah doesn't want him to remain an Eved Ivri, but he does. Therefore, the Torah, you know, provides for a situation or circumstances under which he can remain. But at least in the simple reading of the Psukim, you get the sense that the term Eved Ivri isn't exactly what we would have thought. There seems to be more going on. There seems to be, you know, an effort on the Torah's part to make this not obvious. That idea is taken by Chazal and expanded greatly, or presumably understood by Chazal in a number of applications. But first, I said from the start, this is a mitzvah. What does it mean that it's a mitzvah? So let's read the Rambam, source number 3. Sefer HaMitzvos, Mitzvot Aseh Reish Lamed Bet, 232, says the Rambam, Hi shetzivanu bidin evet ivri. The Torah has commanded us about the din of Eved Ivri. V'amar itala ki tikna Eved Ivri. Okay, what's missing from this description of the mitzvah? The answer is, what's missing is there's no verb. There's no commandment. We are commanded in the din of Eved Ivri. The clear sense you get in the Rambam, and I could prove it from other Rambams, but the clear sense you get in the Rambam is this isn't a commandment to acquire an Eved Ivri. There's no affirmative desire on the part of the Torah that the institution of Eved Ivri exists. This is simply, if you find yourself in the circumstance of Eved Ivri, then the mitzvah satorah is to follow the rules of Eved Ivri. Okay, it's a very odd formulation by the Rambam, because when you look at a mitzvah in the Rambam, it's supposed to tell you what you're supposed to do. And it doesn't command us to do anything. It just commands us bidin Eved Ivri. And we'll contrast that with another mitzvah in a few minutes. Okay, so we have psukim in the Torah that seem to limit the situation of Eved Ivri. Okay, the psukim seem to imply that it's something other than we think. That was all supported by Rashi. Even the Rambam, in describing the mitzvah, sort of struggles to find a way to describe it, because it's clear that this isn't what we would call a mitzvah chiyuvis, meaning on Rosh Hashanah, there's a mitzvah to hear shofar. On Sukkah, there's a mitzvah to take dalid minim. On Pesach, there's a mitzvah, et cetera, et cetera. That's not the case here. The case here is you could call it circumstantial or a mitzvah chiyuvis, which is, okay, if you're in this situation, here's how you should deal with it. All this to get to halacha l'maisa. Now you think to yourself, halacha l'maisa, that seems funny. We have no avad in bisman hazeh, so of course we don't. And therefore, you don't find any of this in Shulchan Aruch. But you do find it in the Rambam. The Rambam has Hilchos Avadim, and the Rambam in the first parak of Hilchos Avadim, we'll read a few of them, and you'll see how different the mitzvah really is than what we imagined it. Source number
I
4.
Give you 20 yet?
Excuse me?
No, I just need $10, not 20.
Okay, whoever phone Shlomo is, we can hear you. You haven't said anything wrong yet, so don't worry. Thank you. Here we go. First halacha in Hilchos Avadim. Eved Ivri ha'amur b'Torah. Who's the Eved Ivri that the Torah talks about in this week's parsha? Ze Yisraeli shemicharo oto beitin al karcho. Two circumstances. Either Bezdin sold a Jew, or hamocher atzmo liritzono. Oh, he sold himself. What are the cases? Pay attention here. Here we go. Ketzad. Ganav ve'ein lo lishalem etakeren. You stole, but you don't have enough to repay the principal. Based in mochrinoto. Kemo she'amarnu b'hilchos gneiva. Okay. Bezdin sells him. But the Rambam very much limits the case. What's the case that Bezdin sells him? A, it's limited to theft. But B, it's limited to the principal. Now, we all know, if you steal something from somebody else, you have to pay kefel. You have to pay double. So I would have thought, okay, you now own double, you now owe double what you sold, what you stole. Either you pay it back, or you become a slave to pay it back. But the Rambam says, no. You only become an Eved Ivri if you're unable to repay the principal. But Kefel, you don't become an Eved Ivri. Dalet Vehei, you don't become an Eved Ivri. And the Rambam further limits this. The Rambam lets us know, Ve'ein lecha ish b'Yisrael, shemochrin oto beitin elo haganav bilvad. The Rambam says, you might have thought that selling somebody is a type of punishment that Bezdin can use when it needs to. No. It's exceptionally limited. Bezdin can sell you in one and only one situation. You stole something and you cannot repay the principal. Okay? Va'al zeshe machruhu beitin hu omer ki tikne eved ivri. Va'alav hu omer b'mishne Torah. Okay, fine. Now, that's the Bezdin side. What about the other side? The Rambam says, mocher atzmo ketzad. What's the case of selling yourself? He says, Ze Yisrael Sheheani Biyoter. This is a person, he didn't become poor, he became destitute. Natna lo Torah Rishut Limkoret Atzmo. The Torah gives this person permission to sell himself. Shenemar Ki Amucha Achichi Mochvenim Karlach. Okay, you don't have enough money, you sell yourself. But now the Rambam limits it even further. You can't sell yourself, and put away the money that you make, having sold yourself as a slave. Says the Rambam, you're a poor person, okay? And you say to yourself, I don't have anything to do for the next month. I'll sell myself as a slave and I'll put away that money and I can invest it and I can use it to pay off debts, et cetera, et cetera. So the Rambam, no, you can't in any of those cases. The only case in which you can sell yourself is if you need food for you or your family. Last full line. Ve'ein adam rashai limkor et atzmo ad shelo yisha'er lo klum. Says the Rambam, if you own anything, you have to sell those things first. If you have an additional suit, you have to sell that first. The only circumstance in which you can sell yourself is if you're destitute. You have nothing to eat. You have nothing to give to your wife, to your children. That is the one and only circumstance, says the Rambam, in which you can sell yourself. So we started with this idea of Eved Ivri, which at least in the Torah and the Psukim in this week's parasha sounds like, I don't know, you know, every other guy was an Eved Ivri. Says the Rambam, wrong. Bezdin can do it in an extremely limited situation. That is, you stole and can't repay the principal. You can do it. You can sell yourself. But again, only in an extremely limited situation. And that is not that you're poor, but you literally cannot put food on the table. Okay? So the first thing is, Eved Ivri exists in only two cases, and both of them are exceptionally limited. The assumption is, you know, there aren't that many Eved Ivris. That's first. Okay? Skip to the next source. Halacha Vav in Perek Aleph of Hilchos Avadim. Says the Rambam, Kol Eved Ivri Asur La'avod Bo Befarach. Right? The Befarach should be a word we recognize. Vaya'avidu Mitzrayim Et B'nei Yisrael Befarach. Says the Rambam, you might have thought that when you become a slave, well then, you know, you're the master is able to treat you like a slave and give you back-breaking labor to do. Says the Rambam, doesn't work that way. Rather, first he's going to explain, what's parech? Ve'ezo hi avodat parech? Zo avoda she'ein la kitzva? Va'avoda she'eino tzarich la shel ela tihye machshavto la'avido bilvad shelo yivatel. It's what we call busy work. You don't need it done. You're just being punitive. So you tell the guy, you know, like in the movies, right? You give the guy a brush and you tell him he has to like mop the floor with the toothbrush. Okay? Mikan amru chachamim. Shelo yomar lo ador tachat hagifanim ad she'avo. Sheharei lo natan lo kitzva. You can't tell him, you know, to hoe in the vineyard. I don't know if that's a verb, you know, till I return. Because that's just saying, you know, I want to make sure you're busy. Ela yomar lo, you can say ador ad she'av plonis. You know, I want you to do this for the next hour. O ad makom ploni. Or do this until you finish the field. That's okay. But you can't just give him busy work. V'chein, lo yomar lo chafor makom zeh, v'hu eino tzarich lo. Right? You can't say to the guy, please dig a ditch in the backyard, when you know you don't need the ditch. That's demeaning. More than that, v'afil lahachem lo kos shel chamin o lahatzein. You can't even have him, you know, boil water for you or cool off water. If you don't need it, that's not backbreaking labor, but that's disrespectful. That's demeaning. If you do that, says the Rambam, over alav below ta'ase shenemar lo tirdebo befarach. That's a violation, not just of the asay, of the rules of Eved Ivri, but of the lo ta'ase, of making him do demeaning work. Ha'eino oselo ela davar katsuv sho tzarich lo. He may be called an Eved Ivri. He may be called a slave, but you're not allowed to use him as such. You can only give him work that's necessary, work that's constructive, work that people, you know, feel good doing because there's a sense of accomplishment when you achieve it. Now, if you think that's a surprising halacha, look at the next one, Halacha Zayin. Said the Rambam, Kol Eved Ivri Asur Li Yisrael Shekanahu La'avido Bidvarim Bozim. He said, if you have an Eved Ivri, you're not allowed to give him not backbreaking work. Of course, you can't do that. You can't give him embarrassing work. Sheheim Miyuchadim La'asota Avadim. Literally, if you acquire a slave, an Eved Ivri, you can't give him slave work. What does that mean? Kigon, sheyolicha charav kelav lebeit hamerchatz, o yachlos lo min alav. Okay, apparently, you know, you're going to the bathhouse, you want your slave to carry your towel, and maybe your shampoo, and maybe your conditioner. No, because that's demeaning. Ram says you can't do that. You're wearing boots, and you want your slave to help you take your boots off. Says the Rambam, you can't, because that's demeaning work. Shenemar lo ta'avod bo avodat aved. He's not allowed to do slave work. Eino noheg bo ela kisachir. You have to relate to your Eved Ivri as if he's a worker, as if he's getting a salary. Shenemar. He should be like any one of your other workers. Okay? Now, here comes the clincher. So again, the rule was clear. You're not allowed to have your Eved Ivri carry the towel for you, take off your boots, because that's what we would think of as slave work. And they're not allowed to do slave work. Amed Devarim Amurim, who's not allowed to do slave work? The Eved Ivri. Only in Eved Ivri, mipnei shenafsho shfeila b'mechira. Says the Rambam, a psychological insight. You know why an Eved Ivri can't do demeaning work for you? Because he's depressed. Now, it might not mean depressed, but nafsho shfeila b'mechira. He understands that he's reached rock bottom. He sold himself because he had no other option. He's down on himself. Says the Rambam, you can't treat a person who's down on himself, you know, as if he's beneath you. Aval, listen to this. Yisrael shalonimkar. But a Jew, he didn't sell himself to you. He's just working for you. Then, mutar lehishtamesh bo ke'eved. You can make him carry your towel to mikvah. You can make him take off your boots. Why? Shahare eino osem melacha. Been an accountant, could have been a lawyer. He became a worker for you. He's not down on himself necessarily. He's not depressed. It's just a job. So says the Rambam, I'll say it in a sharper way than he says it. You can treat your worker like a slave. You can't treat your slave like a slave. I'm exaggerating a little bit, but that's where it comes out. So what have we seen so far in the Rambam? We've seen the Rambam limit as much as possible. Again, it's not the Rambam, it's a bunch of Gemaras, but limit as much as possible the circumstance on which a person could become an Eved Ivri. Then the Rambam limits as much as possible the types of work you can give to your Eved Ivri. Okay? You can't give him any slave work. You can't give him any backbreaking work. You can't do anything to him that will make him feel inferior, that will make him feel like a slave. All this to get to what I think is the most famous halacha in Hilchos Avadim. Halacha test. Says the Rambam, Kol Eved Ivri o Amaha Ivriya, that's just a female Eved Ivri, Chayav Ha'adon Lahashvotan Lo B'ma'achal U'b'makeh B'ksut U'b'mador. Says the Rambam, the Adon, the master, has to make the slave his equal with respect to food and drink and clothing and lodging. Meaning, whatever you eat, he eats. Wherever you sleep, whatever lodgings you have, he does. If you drink fancy wine, he gets fancy wine. If you dress nicely, he dresses nicely. Shenemar, ki tov lo imach, right? The slave wants to stay because he loves it there. Imach, shelo tehe ata ochel pat naki, vu ochel pat kibar. It can't be that you're eating, I don't know, white bread and he's eating bad rye bread. Ata shote yain yashan, you're drinking old, beautiful, expensive wine. Vu shote yain chadash. Ata yoshein al gabe mukin, you sleep on a bed. Vu yoshein al gabe ateven, he sleeps on straw. Atada bikrach vuhuda bikfar o atada bikfar vuhu yoshe bikrach. Has to all be the same. Shema v'yatsa me'imach. Mikan amru. And here's the line. Kol hakone eved ivri kikone adon la'atzmo. I repeat. This is a chazal. Kol hakone eved ivri. A person who acquires an eved ivri. It's as if he has acquired a master. not a slave. V'chayav linhog bo minhag achva. And you have to act with him, with the slave, in a way of like brotherhood. Shenema uva achechem b'nei Israel. V'afal pikein tzarich ha'eved. Now, one little bit of reality for the eved. V'afal pikein tzarich ha'eved linhog atzmo minhag avdut bo'otan ha'avodot shu'oselo. Okay, he says in the end, the eved has to work hard when he's given jobs to do. But the sense you get, the more you read in the Rambam, and again, the Rambam is just a good source, it's a good summary of what's out there in Chazal, it's as far from an Eved-Adon relationship as a person could imagine. It really, you know, just doesn't sound that way. Okay, it's almost like the word Eved is the wrong word. It doesn't describe the situation. The Torah didn't have a better word. Now, if I haven't convinced you till now, let's look quickly at the psukim in Parshas Re'eh and Dvarim. It's almost exactly parallel to us, except there's one mitzvah that's introduced. Source number five: Ki imachel lecha achicha ha'ivri o ha'ivriya va'avadcha sheishanim uvashana shvitis shalchen chafshim me'imach. Same thing. You work 6 years. In the seventh year, you go out. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Here it comes. V'chi tishalechenu chafshi me'imach, lo tishalchenu reikam. When you send him out, you can't send him out empty-handed. Rather, Yudalid, ha'aneg ta'aniklo. You have to give him a gift. Mitzoncha u'migarncha u'mikvecha. From your cattle, from your threshing floor, from your vineyard, asheberacha shalokecha titen lo. Right? It's a whole discussion in the Gemara, how much you have to give, and is it based on how much money you made, etc. But the bottom line is, on top of the fact that you have to support him and his wife and his children, on top of the fact that you have to feed him at the level at which you eat, and clothing and lodging and all this, when it's over, you have to give him money. You have to give him a pension. Why? V'zacharta ki eved hayita be'eretz Yisrael v'yiftecha Hashem lokecha al kein anochi mitzavecha tadavar hazeh hayom. Because there was once a time where you were a slave, and how did God take you out of Mitzrayim? Says Rashi in source number six, V'ha'anakti v'shaniti lecha mi'bizat Mitzrayim u'bizat hayam. When you left Egypt, you didn't leave empty-handed, right? God has to beg Moshe, Daber na ba'aznei ha'am v'yishalu ish me'et bre'eh v'isha me'et ruta klei chesef u'klei zahav, right? And we took stuff out of Mitzrayim and we got stuff at Yamsuf. Af ata ha'anek Vishanelo. You too have to give a gift to the Eved and support him. All of a sudden, you know, the master who we didn't like at the beginning of this year, because who wants to have a slave? It's demeaning, it's horrible. He's playing the role of God. He's supporting the Eved the way God supported us. And it's not just a suggestion. Source number seven, here's the Rambam. It's a mitzvah saseh min haTorah. V'amitzvah kuf tzadi vavhi shetzivanu leha'anik eved ivri kisheyatza lachavshi. We have a mitzvah d'oraisa. So unlike, again, I pointed that on top. Unlike the Rambam in source number three, he shetzivanu bidin eved ivri. We have to keep the rules of eved ivri. Here the Rambam tells you that you have an obligation to do something. Leha'anik eved ivri kisheyatza lachavshi. To give him money. V'lo yetze biyadayim reikaniyot. He can't leave empty-handed. Why not? Why can't he leave empty-handed? We're starting to get the sense that what's going on here is a form of rehabilitation. It's a societal mitzvah where society or the Torah wants to find a way for society to take care of the people who are in the biggest trouble ever. you know, they're down to their last dollar. They can't support themselves. They had to steal. They're having to repay it now. And the sense you get is that the person who takes an Eved Ivri, he's not some mean guy. He's not trying to abuse people. He's not trying to show how great he is. There's nothing in it for him. At the end of all of it, after supporting him and doing all these things, he has to give him a going away gift, a substantial gift. Why? Because we don't want this person returning to his ways, not to stealing and not to extreme poverty. And so we not only pay off his debts, but we give him a fresh start. It's a form of advanced bankruptcy or a form of advanced restructuring. And here's the Rambam in source number 8. Kala mishalech avdova amato reikam. If you'd think it's enough. I took such good care of them. Now I'm letting them go. What a nice guy I am. Says the Rambam, no, if you let them go without giving them a gift, over belotase, it's a violation of a lotase. It's like you ate meat and milk. Shenemar lo tishalchenu reikam. It's like a lava nitak vasei. No, rather than sending him out with nothing, you have to give him a gift. Okay, whenever they leave, and the Rambam discusses exactly what it is and how much money, but we didn't need to go into that. It's hard to ignore what we're seeing. And what we're seeing is Eved Ivri not only is not something that we should be embarrassed about, it's an institution that the Torah, you know, put and told us we have to set up in our cities to support the cases that otherwise would fall through the cracks. There's almost no benefit to being the Adon in this case. It's costing you money. And yet, the Torah wants you to do it. It limits the cases. The Torah doesn't want it to get out of hand. You can only do it in the theft case. You can only do it when the guy is really destitute. But to do it is to save the person. To do it is to rehabilitate the person. To do it is to give him a fresh start. It's not what we would have expected. And now if you look at the Sefer Achinuch in source number 9, you see something else. First of all, I guess we should point out the following, because I mentioned at the beginning. You know, I don't know how to explain the fact that Ha'anaka, the giving of a gift to the Eved Ivri, is not included in the mitzvah d'oraisa of Eved Ivri. It's like there's a case of Eved Ivri, and then there's a separate, almost independent halacha of giving the Eved Ivri a gift after he's no longer an Eved Ivri. Technically, I guess you could argue, well, it's not part of Eved Ivri, because he's no longer an Eved Ivri when you give him a gift. But that's something to think about on the side, that these mitzvahs are counted separately. But now let's look at the Sefer Achinuch. And it's a classic Sefer Achinuch because he gives you the rationale, and the rationale is exactly what you would expect. But then he broadens it in a way that's probably not supportable halachically, but is certainly supportable philosophically. Source number 9. Says the Chinuch on our mitzvah. Mishar Shea mitzvah. What's the rationale of Eved Ivri? Lema'an nikne b'nafshenu midot me'ulot yikarot v'chamudot. The mitzvah is for us to become more refined, for us to become better people, for us to have better values, us being the Adon, not the Eved. It means it's an act of chesed. There's nothing in it for the Adon. He's going to lose money on the deal, but he's going to help the person become rehabilitated. This is classic chinuch. If we become better people, we will be more worthy of God's goodness. And God wants, what does God want most, according to the Chinuch, to be good to us, for the world to be good. V'hodenu v'hadrenu hu shenirachem al mi she'avad itanu V'natan lo mishalanu, v'niten lo mishalanu b'torat chesed. Our splendor, says the Chinuch, is to look and see and say to ourselves, this person worked for me. I should give them a pension. I should give them a going away gift. I should get them back on their feet. Milvad ma shehitnenu imo latet lo bischaro. In addition to his salary, right? The Eved Ivri, you know, he's going to get this much for being an Eved Ivri, and he gets all the other benefits. In addition, says the Chinuch, now he has to get a pension, even though it wasn't part of the deal. V'davar muskalhu ein tzach la'arichbo. It's obvious that that's what a good person does. Okay? That's the rationale for the mitzvah. But now look what happens. Says the Chinuch, v'noheget mitzvah zo. This is obviously the end, right? In the Sefer HaChinuch, each mitzvah has four parts. The first is the introduction to the mitzvah. The second is mishar sheha mitzvah, rationales. The third is midine ha mitzvah. Here are the halachos related to the mitzvah. And the fourth is where my cursor is. V'noheget mitzvah zo bizicharim unikevot bizman habayit. The first thing is the institution of Eved Ivri only applies when there's a Beis HaMikdash. She'ein din Eved Ivri noheg el bizman shehayovel noheg. Because for whatever reason, Eved Ivri only applies when there's a Yovel, when they can leave in Yovel. Now here comes the point. Umikal makom, nevertheless, or in all circumstances, af, now you have to be clear. The Chinuch just said, Eved Ivri does not apply bizman hazeh. Umikal makom, nevertheless. Af bizman hazeh, yishma chacham v'yosef lekach. Even bizman hazeh, sure, technically, Eved Ivri doesn't apply, but yishma chacham, we should be wise people and learn lessons from this. V'yosef lekach. What's the lesson we're supposed to learn? He says, she'im sachar echad mibnei Yisrael va'avado zman merubeh. If you have a Jewish worker who's worked for you for a number of years, o afilu muat, or he only worked for you a little bit, the Chinuch says, you know what I just learned from here? That if you have a worker, when they leave, whether it was part of the deal or not, you should give them a going away present. You should give them a pension, right? The sense you get is there are all these halachos of Eved Ivri, but then there's the lesson to be learned from Eved Ivri. Rav Amital Zatzal used to call it, you know, Ruach HaHalacha. Rav Asher calls it, you know, Ritzon HaTorah. It's not a halacha, but it's the moral lesson we learn. And it turns out, unlike what we thought, Eved Ivri is exceptionally moral. Eved Ivri is a person stepping up, losing money to take in this person, treating him as a brother, supporting him, his wife, his children, doing all the things that we would think of as tzedaka. And not only that, the Torah compares this person to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. God took us out, Berchush Gadol, and now this person is going to take, he's going to let his slave go or send his slave free, but maybe not Berchush Gadol, but with enough money for a fresh start. It's very similar. See, we have, I don't want to say a warped view, but we have a strange view. Lamaisa, we think that the best form of tzedaka is giving a person money. It makes us feel really, really good. But it turns out that that's not true, right? The Rambam thinks the best form of tzedaka is giving a person a job. And the sense you get here is, it's not just the case that the Adon is some rich, bad guy who's taking advantage of people. He's a tzaddik. He's doing a mitzvah. He's finding a way to help rehabilitate a fellow Jew who has no other way to get back on his feet. And he's rehabilitating him in the most respectful way possible. And so I think if you go back to our original question, the original question was, why does Eved Ivri get such big play in the Torah? And worse, Why is Eved Ivri the beginning of Mishpatim? As if, you know, this is the most important mitzvah. And I think to a certain extent it is. Eved Ivri, properly understood, is an incredible act of chesed. To take in an Eved Ivri is to sacrifice yourself, to spend much, much more money than you're going to get back. But that's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants our societies to be built. You know, and if we don't have Eved Ivri Bizman HaZeh, we have to find another way to do it. I don't know what it's like anymore. When I was in Teaneck, you know, Project Ezra was a big deal. There has to be a way for a community to adopt a method by which, with great respect and without taking a person's dignity, we can help people who have debts, we can help people who have moral flaws to rehabilitate themselves. And my guess is, if a person had an Eved Ivri, he probably had four or five Avadim Ivriim. It was like a halfway house. You know, it was like a rehabilitation center where you help these people. And I think, again, in the end, you know, why it leads Sefer Mishpatim and why it gets such big play in the Torah is because we misunderstand it. It's almost like the Torah ran out of a word. Eved obviously has a negative connotation. But in this context, he's far from an Eved. Eved Ivri is a euphemism for a societal obligation to care for its, you know, its most downtrodden, its poorest, its people have no place to turn to. And rather than being embarrassed by the institution of Eved Ivri, and rather than being defensive about the institution of Eved Ivri, it dawns on me, we ought to be proud of it. And we ought to find a way nowadays, okay, not to have Avadim, but to find ways for every community, and maybe we're already doing it, for every community to find a way to support, you know, its poorest members with dignity and with respect. All right, that's what I have for today. Josh, is your hand up? Am I supposed to understand that you have a question? Maybe you're not even there. All right, anyway, Yashkoch to everybody. Have a great, great week, and we'll do this again next Friday.
Shabbat Shalom. Thank you.
Thank you. Goodbye,
Ellie, I'm sorry.